Very happy to welcome in our very flexible regular guest on Thursday. Will gave Renault a call about half an hour early, said, hey, can you go? And our good friend Renault Lavoie says, yes, absolutely, I can go. So, Renault, merci. How are you, my friend? Thank you so much for doing this.
I'm good. Thanks. Thanks for asking, Pat.
And thank you for being flexible. That's very, very kind of you. The main thing I wanted to ask you about, and the thing that I was really excited to get your take on, and we'll do so right now, is this 9-player trade that we saw happen 2 days ago here in Calgary with the lineup news of them sitting some of their most important players for a game. It kind of pushed that Dion Phaneuf trade to the side. But you've got a really kind of interesting story as to how that trade came about, the Senators and the Maple Leafs coming together on a nine-player trade on Tuesday. How did that trade come about?
Well, first of all, my understanding is maybe a month ago, the two sides had a little chat about the possibility of trading Dion Phaneuf to Ottawa, but that was about it. And on Saturday, I'm at, Ottawa Senators and Maple Leafs morning skate, and the Leafs are on the ice, and I decided to go close to the Maple Leafs dressing room, and Lou Lamoriello is there. And I asked the Maple Leafs GM if he's going to go on Tuesday at the ceremony for Martin Brodeur, and say yes, I'll be there for sure. But he said, "Renaud, I have to leave you. I forgot my cell phone inside Brian Murray's office, so I have to go and pick it up." And I was like, "Oh, that's odd in a way." But, Lula Moriello and Brian Murray, they know each other for so long that it's totally normal that a team like Lula Moriello can spend some time with Brian Murray. But the reality, and I've heard that it was really at that moment that the talks started really between the two sides, and it's really at that moment that they were able to talk about a trade involving Dion Phaneuf, and to put multiple bodies in that trade. And so they did talk for another 48 hours. My understanding, it really heats up on Saturday, and on Tuesday they were able to announce the trade early in the morning. It was a surprise for everybody, obviously. For the Ottawa Senators, they wanted to have a player, a defenseman, to play with Cody Ceci. So that's what Dion Phaneuf is now doing with the Ottawa Senators. And it's a unique trade. It's a trade that's going to help the Ottawa Senators right now. And you look at the Toronto Maple Leafs, and you understand that it's gonna help that team in the future, maybe not this season, and there's no expectation anymore about this season for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Maybe it's going to help for next season. But what it's going to do is free some cap space. Some people are saying, well, with all the players that they just acquired, they still have a lot of players on the payroll. It's a fact. But those players could be traded by the end of the month, or at the draft, or on July 1st. So there's plenty of ways right now for the Toronto Maple Leafs to build a better team for next season.
Well, and it's funny because, you talk about the Senators getting better right now, and I agree. I mean, Phaneuf goes in, and he absolutely adds to their depth on the blue line. He's an upgrade on Jared Cowan and all of that. But from a Leafs perspective, over the last year or so, they've been able to get out from under big contracts, yeah, bad contracts like David Clarkson, big contracts like Phil Kessel, and now Dion Phaneuf. I mean, how much credit should they be given for being able to do that?
Well, a lot, and that's unbelievable what they were able to do in the last 18 months, to be honest with you. They corrected some bad contracts that were given to some players that maybe didn't deserve all those contracts. That being said, I think Dion Phaneuf's contract is fair value. I like what Dion is doing on the ice. I know he's still got some flaws in his game, mm-hmm, but, it's tough to find a perfect defenseman in this league, believe me. So it's kudos to the Maple Leafs. They were able to make a huge trade. And it shows, it says a lot about, you know, some teams. I mean, let's be honest here. Whoever had thought that Clarkson could be traded, whoever thought that Phil Kessel could be traded, not beyond Sanesta. Sanesta, I had no worries about him, to be honest with you. But it just shows you that, you know, in the NHL, there's 30 teams. And it's not true that all 30 GMs are thinking the same way. I'm pretty sure that if they had a chance, the Pittsburgh Penguins will revisit the trade with Phil Kessel. And it's the same thing in Columbus. They're never going to say publicly that, you know, trading for Clarkson or trading for Phil Kessel was not a bad idea. But at the end of the day, Pat, you and I knows that it was not the greatest move ever.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think we've had a couple of conversations about that at different times. Renaud Lavoie is our guest, our NHL insider from TVA Sports, joining us early on this Thursday game day for the Calgary Flames. Flames in San Jose. Lots to talk about with our good friend Renaud today. Speaking of trades, and we saw that big 9-player trade come down 2 days ago, and lots of other things happening around the league over the last little while. Ever since that slow first couple of months to the season in terms of trades, it's really started to pick up. What's the latest on what you're hearing on Jonathan Drouin, who requested a trade now? It's been about a month.
Yeah, well, it's still ongoing, right? It's really a situation right now where Steve Yzerman needs to decide what he's going to do with that player. There's obviously a lot of teams interested, maybe less than 3 weeks ago when he decided to go back home and, you know, skate it by himself. There's a lot of GMs and that don't believe in a player that's doing things like that, you know, and I understand why they're saying that, but at the same time, they're missing maybe an opportunity to go and pick a really, really good player here. That's not costing tons of money, by the way. He doesn't have in his pocket right now 8 years, $7 or $8 million contract. So there's plenty of ways to see if Jonathan Drouin's for real. And I have no doubt in my mind that he is. So if there are some teams who decided that, you know, they don't want to pursue or you know, they're not interested anymore in Jonathan Drouin, I think it's it's more their loss than anybody than anything else. So what's going to happen is really simple. We'll know by the end of the month if Steve Yzerman is going to decide just to say, okay, I need to protect my asset because it's still an asset for the Lightning. And the best way to do that is really to trade him, to be honest with you, because let's say Jonathan is not playing for the rest of the season and that he's not traded before the end of the month. It will be really difficult after that for the Red Wings to expect to have a lot at the draft or on July 1st. So because, you know, teams are going to say, listen, he didn't play. We don't know what kind of player we're going to have anymore. So, and the last thing that Steve Yzerman wants to do is to have a trade like Cal Turris and the Ottawa Senators when Cal Turris didn't want to play anymore for the Coyotes. That was, Pat, remember, one of the worst trade ever. So they need to look at the situation and say, okay, we have a player right now who doesn't want to play for us anymore. Okay. Yes, maybe his value has come down a little because of his decision to go back home. But we need to be creative, and we need to find a way because honestly, we still don't know what's going to happen with Steven Stamkos. That's first. And second of all, this is still a good team that has a chance to win the Stanley Cup this year. And I just don't understand, you know, why you wouldn't, you know, Jonathan Drouin was not on your team anymore, and he was in the minors. So in your mind, he's not an NHLer for this season. So make a trade, get some good players in return, and you'll have a better team anyway. So I think it's really a question for them to say, listen, we didn't like the situation. We don't want to be bullied by anybody, but for the best of the franchise, we need to make a trade. And I still expect a trade to come before the end of the month.
what's happening with the team that you cover on a daily basis? The Montreal Canadiens have put together some wins. They've won three in a row. It's been a while since they've been able to string together any wins. It's been such a miserable stretch, but three in a row now. Anything different than you're seeing from the Habs of late?
Quite simple, Ben Scrivens. I mean, it's really easy. He's the first star of all those three games. And I talked to Ben this morning, and I said, you know what, I'm happy for you. Things are going well. He said, I didn't change anything in my game. One thing for sure, I have puck luck now. He said, sometimes in the first four games that I played with the Canes this year, I couldn't believe, the goals that I was allowing because I couldn't believe that those pucks were going in. And the sum of those goals were lucky. And he said, look at the game on Sunday. It was already 1-0 for the Hurricanes, and they had an open net, and they hit the post. And he said, well, the luck came back on my side, and that's why I was able to win that game. And it's versus the Tampa Bay Lightning. It was kind of a one-way game for the Montreal Canadiens, but still versus a team that, had a chip on his shoulder because of the loss in Ottawa the night before. So it's three wins for Ben Scrivens right now. Three in a row, and now they're going to Buffalo for a game tomorrow night. After that, they'll go to Arizona and Denver. So it's a good stretch. They need 4 points in these next three games. But the Montreal Canadiens, they are who they are. Okay, and without a good goaltender, they're not going to be able to win games. Mm-hmm. With a decent goaltender, they're going to have a good chance to win more game than losing. I expect a team that's going to be that's going to battle until the end of the season for a playoff spot. Everybody is hoping that Carey Price will be back, Pat, but as of right now, there's no changes. I expect it's going to take him at least another week or 10 days before he's going to make put the pads on. And after that, hopefully he's going to be back. I guess now we're somewhere early in March.
One final thought for you. Renaud Lavoie is with us, our NHL insider from TVA Sports. He joins us on Mondays and Thursdays here on Hockey Central at noon. He's our NHL insider. You put this in your Twitter feed, at Ren Lavoie TVA, a little earlier this week, and I'm really curious to get your opinion on it. An article out there where Bill Foley, who's trying to bring an NHL team to Las Vegas, says, maybe I was a little bit naive about how easy this process was going to be. So are we talking about some frustration now from Foley as he tries to bring a team to Las Vegas?
Rightly so. Think about it, Pat. The last expansion, all those teams paid $80 million, and it was, quote-unquote, a walk in the park. Now you're offering four times that amount, $500 million, two franchise at $500 million, and the owners are saying, you know what, we're not that interested. Because they think that there's a good chance that Las Vegas and Quebec will be teams that will need, revenue sharing in a few years because they won't be able to be maybe a top tier team revenue wise. I don't agree with that at all. I understand why the owners and the rich owners are tired to pay for maybe the Florida Panthers of this world. But believe me, if there's a team in Quebec, it will be full. Believe me, if there's a team in Las Vegas, there's a good chance that they'll make money too. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of market in this league that you just wonder from time to time. I know Tampa is a really good market, but I'm not convinced that even if they're close to sell out every game, that they're that rich. The Florida Panthers, we've been through that that franchise, and we know exactly what's going on with the Panthers. But there's other places like Columbus. There's not a lot of people in Columbus going to watch the Blue Jackets. Do I expect more people in Quebec than in Columbus night after night? For sure. And, I think the way maybe the expansion draft will be put, maybe there's a lot of teams who are scared about that because, yes, it's true, they're going to lose at least one or two good players. And that's maybe scary for those franchise. But, you know, if there's no expansion soon or announcement soon, it will be the first time that Gary Bettman in 30 years put a project in front of the owners, and the owners just reject it. And it will be, I think, I'm not sure, you know, Gary Bettman, I mean, he signed a new contract until 2022. He's a good, really good commissioner, but I think he had a real clean slate. And maybe for the first time, people are going to say, well, you know what? For the first time, there was a project on the table, a really important one, and the owners just rejected Gary Bettman's proposition, which I find, in a way, strange.
Yeah, I find that very interesting, and certainly that's a developing story to watch, because I found that very interesting to hear Bill Foley say how frustrated he was with the process. Hey, Renaud, first of all, appreciate the time as always.
No problem,
second of
Pat.
All, appreciate being so flexible for us. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend, and we will talk again on Monday.
No problem, Pat. Have a nice weekend.